12 to 42. The apostles heal many. Now many signs and wonders were done among the people through the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. Yet more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, great numbers of both men and women, so that they carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, in order that Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he came by. A great number of people would also gather from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those tormented by unclean spirits. They were all cured. Then the high priest took action, he and all who were with him, that is, the sect of the Sadducees, being filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, and they brought them out and said to them, "Go stand in the temple and tell the people the whole message about this life." When they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and went on with their teaching. When the high priest and those with him arrived, they called together the council and the whole body of the elders of Israel, and they sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the temple police went there, they didn't find them in the prison, so they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were perplexed about them and wondered what might be going on. Then someone arrived and announced, "Look, the men you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went with the temple police and brought them, but without violence, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet here you are, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you have killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and saviour, so that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. But we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all the people, he stood up and ordered the men to be put outside for a short time. Then he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, consider carefully what you propose to do to these men. For some time ago, Thaddeus rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. But he was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and disappeared. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up at the time of the census and got people to follow him. He also perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. Because if this plan or this undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. In that case, you may even be found fighting against God." They were convinced by him, and when they had called in the apostles, they had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. As they left the council, they rejoiced that they were considered worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. And every day in the temple and at home, they did not cease to teach and proclaim Jesus as Messiah. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Barbara. So we're continuing our journey through the book of Acts and the way in which God sort of started the early church, the way that they started to take the news out. And the shell that we had, do you notice the way that those shells sort of are designed by God is that you see all of the different lines going out and spreading out as you sort of follow the shell up. And it's that representation of how the good news went from the early believers all the way to us today as the church. So let's just pray, shall we, for one moment. Lord, we thank you for your word and the way that it speaks to us. And as we reflect on a few things now, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds to hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. The disciples were living in the fast lane. More and more people were turning to Jesus as they saw God working and healing people and changing lives. It goes without saying that this was a threat to the religious order. The leaders needed to do something about it. The answer? Lock the troublemakers up. The problem? God was at the heart of the revolution. God freed the prisoners. The angel said, "Go stand in the temple and tell the people the whole message about this life. Tell people about how Jesus transforms things. Help them to live life to the full." So the followers had a choice: run and hide, or keep going and keep doing God's work. I wonder which of those would you choose? What was their response? As soon as the sun came up, they went up to the temple and told people about the new way. They told and taught people about Jesus. When the religious leaders gathered to deal with the prisoners, they heard that they were gone. Shortly after came the worst news. The men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. How did they escape? Why would they go to the temple and risk being thrown in prison again? Why did these people believe that teaching about Jesus was so important? And what could the authorities now do about it? Fearful of an uprising, they brought the believers in without violence. Notice that the religious leaders were fearful of their lives, whilst the believers didn't stress about the consequences of following what God was telling them to do. Why? Well, at the heart of it all was this guy who had defeated death and come back to life. As Peter said, "Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree, God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior." Jesus had dealt with the problem of the divide between us and God. He took our wrongdoings on himself so that we could be forgiven and enjoy eternal life with God. Of course, the authorities wanted to kill them, but a wise leader called Gamaliel warned them, "These guys aren't like the others who have come before and then been scattered. Leave them alone, because if this undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. In that case, you may even be fighting against God." Convinced, the leaders had the apostles flogged, and then they were sent away to continue to proclaim Jesus as Savior. And that term, to be flogged, I mean, it's just sort of a passing comment, isn't it, really? But actually, that was horrendous. Now, if this wasn't already on the internet, I would now pause the recording that we have of the talk so that I could share this more safely for the people I'm going to speak about. While the story we've just heard of the believers might seem extreme, there are comparable examples today where God is working in the lives of those who are persecuted for sharing their faith in Jesus. The charity Global Christian Relief shared this story. In North Korea, the only worship that is allowed is of its leader, Kim Jong-un. Reading the Bible, prayer, or praising God can have you imprisoned, tortured, or executed. Min Ho-song, whose name has been changed, knows the grim reality of being a persecuted Christian. He was arrested for being a believer and accused of trying to overthrow the government, an accusation which came along with years of forced labor. If you are known to be a Christian, then your life will be threatened all the time, Song says. If you are caught, you, your parents, your children, three generations will be arrested and executed or put in a political prison for life. I wonder if I was told this morning that my children could be executed if I would come here and speak about Jesus. And that's where Song found himself. He was arrested for leading others in prayer and placed in a hard labor camp. Nothing could have prepared him for the brutality and harsh conditions of the camp, but his faith remained unshaken. I lost about 3.5 stone within 3 months during hard labor and almost died several times during the imprisonment. When asked how he was able to pull through, Song answered, "I realized that people around the world were remembering me and praying for me. And this is why I was able to survive." Miraculously, after 2 years, Song was released. And he continues to spend his life caring for and nurturing the persecuted church in North Korea. "Despite all the difficulty and my life being threatened, there are Christians in North Korea. We call them underground church members. We do not know how many Christians are out there, but they are holding on to their faith. The exact figures are impossible to determine, but conservative estimates say that there are about between 300,000 and 400,000 Christians in North Korea, and the church continues to grow there." God is doing something absolutely amazing. We live in a comparatively free country that has, for over 1,000 years, set its laws and customs around Christian values. Love your neighbor. Treat others as you would want to be treated. Do not murder. Do not steal. Of course, those morals aren't only Christian values. They're universal. Most of us have never lived in a country where simply mentioning Jesus' name is dangerous. So it's hard to understand just how the disciples felt at the time and how followers of Jesus in countries like China, Afghanistan, North Korea, and Somalia feel today. It's so important that we pray for our brothers and sisters in those countries. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." Living in the UK, it'd be easy to say that those who believe in Jesus in this country have it easy. But if we did what Jesus told us to do, I'm sure that wouldn't be the case. The reality is that if we stood up more for what Jesus taught, being a Christian would be a far more challenging experience. You see, there are two choices to following Jesus. The first is in our giving our lives to him, when we say, "Jesus, we want to follow you." For some of us, this may not have been, as we've seen earlier, a conscious decision, one that we made for ourselves, as it was made for us as a baby. The second is a choice of being willing to share Jesus with others, helping people know Jesus for themselves, helping them to not just say yes to him, but then to obey everything that Jesus commanded us to do. It was because the disciples did this that they were persecuted. It's because people in China, North Korea, Somalia, and other places refuse to be silent that they still die for their faith in Jesus today. The disciples said, "We must obey God rather than any human authority." Their faith meant that they realized that they needed to disobey the authorities in order to follow God. The freedom in truth about who Jesus is was more important to them than the freedom from prison. That is amazing faith, faith that we still see in the persecuted church today. And so I wonder, how do we need to be freed today? Firstly, have you invited Jesus into your life like Poppy, Ava, and John? God's word tells us, "So if the Son," that's Jesus, "sets you free, you will be free indeed. Those who the Son sets free are free indeed." Do you know the joy and the peace that comes from welcoming Jesus into your life? Maybe you've said yes to Jesus, and without even realizing it, your faith has been a bit a byproduct of a promise that somebody else made for you many years ago when you were baptized as a baby. It's there, but the fire's never really been ignited. I wonder if your faith in Jesus is secure, but you found yourself steadily being molded by the words and values of the world rather than God's teaching. Perhaps Jesus' call on you has been watered down by the world. And friends, do you know, it is so much harder to live by the values that God sets on our life, about the ways he wants us to live our lives now, than it ever has been. In a world where we say anyone can do anything, we are beginning to water down the sheer morality of life. Now, there's all sorts of areas of that, and I'm not thinking in particular about a single thing, but I think that what we're seeing is a movement in the world, in this country, very much away from the values that God places upon our hearts, that he wants us to live our lives by. And we must be very careful, friends, in order to be careful about that. More than that, we need to be willing to carry our cross, to be willing to speak up for those that aren't heard, and to share the hope of Jesus in a world that really doesn't want to listen. I know there are many other things that God could be bringing to our minds right now on this, but be comforted that your feelings are important to God. He doesn't condemn you. Jesus came to set you and me free. Ava, John, and Poppy today made amazing declarations that they wanted to follow Jesus. The church has made a promise today too. If you follow Jesus, you promise to welcome Ava, Poppy, and John, and to uphold them in their faith in Jesus. You said that you would help them live and grow in God's family, and that means helping them on their journey of faith, to not only trust in Jesus, but to also speak out to make him known. And so, friends, let's pray that they and we would not keep silent, but speak out to help others know Jesus too, trusting in God to guide us, to lead us, and to protect us. Amen.